Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
It's fall. Culinary thoughts turn to simmering soups and stews, seasonal offerings like what? What's specific to October? Well, to find out, we just need to turn to the October chapter of Here and Now resident chef Kathy Gunt's new book, Notes from a Maine Kitchen, Seasonally Inspired Recipes, as Kathy joins us in the studio to tell us more. Kathy, welcome as always.
Hello, Robin.
Beautiful book.
Thank you. You have a little story
and, you know, recipes for each month. Just terrific. But just now we're concentrating on October.
Yeah, we all have that little bit of a cough in our throats here today. The weather's starting to turn. The leaves are starting to turn. And we go inward. We want to start cooking again. You know, we're not spending all our time outside grilling. So soups, apples, mushrooms, stews. I was lucky enough to go up to the White Mountains of Maine with a professional forager named Rick Tibbetts looking for prized matsutake mushrooms and other varieties. And we had an incredible day in horrible, rainy, chilly weather. But man, did we find mushrooms.
Okay, so we want to hear some of your reflections on that. But this is sort of a don't try this at home without a guide.
101%. We just can't stress it enough. I mean, I since have gone out with this forager, I've been in the woods and seen mushrooms, and I will never touch them because I don't know enough. So yeah, you have to buy at a farmer's market, someone's cultivating, or you have to go out with a professional.
As Kathy, you were lucky enough to do. So read us a little bit of your trip.
Okay, Robin, I'm just going to set this up. The name of the forager is Rick Tibbetts. He's out of Portland, Maine. And we went out with Rob Evans, who's the chef of Hugo's Restaurant in Portland, Maine, an absolutely fabulous chef. And we're in the White Mountains. And I can't tell you anything more because I would have to kill you if I told you the location we were in. I mean, it's that kind of secretive.
Okay, so you're sworn to secrecy. But
I am sworn to secrecy, yeah. As are you. Mm-hmm. Here we go. We hike for about 20 minutes, talking about mushrooms without a single sighting. This could be a bust, Tibbetts tells us. Evans and I look crushed, like kids being told there might not be candy on Halloween. We keep walking, rain picking up, air getting colder as we climb. Don't move, Tibbetts whispers, looking right at me. I'm not sure if there's a bear around or something equally terrifying. You're standing on a honey mushroom. Don't crush it. Our first sighting is directly under my hiking boot, and I gently lift my foot to examine the 3-inch mushroom. It is, as its name suggests, the color of honey, a buttery amber brown. Tibbetts picks it and explains that it's really good eating mushroom. Honey mushrooms are the world's largest fungus, he tells us. They grow in huge areas, generally at the base of tree trunks, usually oaks. They taste like straw mushrooms, but you want to get them when they're young and small. And that was just the beginning of our day. We found chanterelles, we found matsutakes, we found these honey mushrooms. It was like Halloween.
Because for you, that was like getting treats, and you turned them into wonderful recipes. There's one for matsutake pasta with Parmesan cheese. I mean, you literally treat a mushroom as a pasta.
The matsutakes are so tender and flavorful. Rob Evans taught me this. You simply slice them lengthwise, saute them in excellent olive oil with a touch of rosemary, which brings out the earthiness. And then you sprinkle them with Parmesan cheese. And he kept saying, it'll taste like fresh fettuccine. And I'm like, what? Mm. How can a fresh mushroom sautéed in olive oil taste like pasta? Wow.
One bite,
it melts in your mouth. Matsutakes are hard to find. You can try this with big porcini or portobellos, anything that you can find in the market that look really fresh and firm.
And what we have in front of us here.
Lucky girl.
Is a thing that, as you said, we all need to make a lot of these this time of year because of our cold. It's a roasted wild mushroom soup, and I'm automatically thinking it does not look like the mushroom soup I make, which is a much paler brown.
Right. Well, you probably use button mushrooms. What I've done with this soup that's in front of you, Robin, is I took portobellos, cremini, shiitakes, any wild mushrooms that were safe that I found in my market. And instead of sautéing them, where you lose a lot of moisture, I roasted them at a very high heat with a few onions. And then you deglaze the pan with a little bit of wine or sherry and throw it into a pot with some stock, a vegetable stock, chicken stock, or beef. And what happens is that the meatiness and the dimension of the flavor of the mushrooms really develops when you roast it. It's the coolest technique for soup I've tried in a long time.
It is so rich. And yet, it's not rich in the way that, it's not a cream soup.
That there's not a speck of dairy in there. There's no butter. Mm. It's just olive oil based. There's no cream. There's no creme fraiche. There's no yogurt. However, you could top that with a little sour cream or a little bit of creme fraiche, but it doesn't really need it. You know what I mean? Mm. It's got such a depth of flavor. Mm. I'll keep talking if you want to eat. It's fine.
Just go on. It is so good. All right. So, by the way, we'll have a video with your demonstration of how this is made at our website, along with the recipe, so don't panic. And speaking of mushrooms, as we've said again, and we'll say it again, don't go foraging yourself. If you've got an expert, that's fine. But otherwise, forage through your local markets. And then what? Because apparently there's a debate about, I always put the mushrooms in a colander and wash them.
Let me tell you.
Don't do that.
A mushroom is like a sponge. If you were to run it under cold running water, it would absorb all the water. All you want to do, and you'll see this in the video we made, is take a damp paper towel and just wipe it clean. Never put it under cold running water. And make sure that they're completely dry before you begin cooking with them. Otherwise, they're going to absorb all the liquid around them.
Okay. Well, we want to also touch on the other ingredient that you focus on for the month of October, apples. Recently, we spoke with Kathy Traverso from Yankee Magazine. She's got a terrific new apple book. We'll link you to that as well. But you, Kathy Gunst, have just impossibly beautiful titles of recipes. Listen to this. Grilled Gruyere sandwiches with maple caramelized apples.
Oh, let's talk about that one. Ooh. That's so good. I mean, people think of grilled cheese as what they give their kids for lunch on a Saturday, but this is just so simple and sophisticated. You take a good crusty bread, your favorite bread, you melt Gruyere on it, which I adore because it's got a nuttiness, and then you take fresh apple slices, a whole variety of them, and you caramelize them in a skillet with maple syrup, and you add these maple glazed apple slices on top of the grilled cheese, serve it open face with that mushroom soup, and you're a happy person.
It seems like such a sophisticated thing, but it seems so easy to make.
5 minutes.
Yeah, okay.
Most of the recipes in the book, using seasonal food means you have food at its absolute freshest, so there's no reason to get super fancy or sophisticated. All these recipes are dishes you can make on a Tuesday night. That's the goal. I do a roasted applesauce in the book where you take apples and pears and roast them, and then you just mash them. That's it. You have instant applesauce.
Wait. You don't have to boil?
Nothing.
Use those thingies, those mills?
Nothing. Exactly. I hate all that stuff. You slice and peel apples and pears. You put them in a roasting pan, 400 degrees. Roast till soft. You can add cinnamon, nutmeg, allspice, ginger. Use a potato masher. The end. Applesauce. Can I tell you one more magical recipe?
Please.
You take a gallon. No one believes this recipe. You take a gallon of unpasteurized apple cider, right? It's everywhere this time of year. You boil it. You boil it. You boil it. It starts to get thick. You do not answer the telephone. Within an hour, you have apple cider jelly. You do nothing else. The pectin in the apple cider forms a natural jelly. So an entire gallon of cider makes about a cup of jelly, and it is superb. And this is the kind of recipe for people that say to me all the time, oh, I can't cook. You boil apple cider. Beginning, end.
Kathy Gunst. Her new book is Notes from a Main Kitchen, Seasonally Inspired Recipes. We were taking a look at the October picks. To see a video of Kathy making her roasted wild mushroom soup, go to herenow.org. We'll have the other recipes as well. Kathy, thanks as always.
Thanks, Robin. Great to see you.